time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Welcome back into another episode of Mitt Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dajon Hughes. We're about to get into a whole hour's worth of what is happening around the state of Michigan when it comes to the sports world. We are going to dive right into Michigan and Michigan State, what's happening on the basketball courts for those two teams as they prepare for the last stretch of February into the beginning of March, and obviously conference tournament and March Madness time. And then we'll get into our Pistons and Red Wings, who both play out of Little Caesars Arena in Detroit and have been doing fantastic things in their prospective sports and leagues, and of course are near the top of the standings. So we have to dive into the midst of the mist and why they look so good before getting into our picks to end out the show. This week's going to be absolutely amazing. It's going to be fun. There's tons to dive into. As far as how I'm feeling, well, I'm on the down and down. You know, a couple things happened last week, have me not feeling so well, but a couple good things happened as well. And this upcoming week, well, we're going to find out what it's going to be like. But I'm excited to get into everything that has happened over the last week when it comes to our Michigan sports. We'll start first with the Spartans out of East Lansing. That basketball team has done a couple of good things over the last couple of days. Things started for them this past week on Sunday against the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Buckeyes are now 17-10, 9-7. The Spartans, they're 22-5, 12-4 after beating the Buckeyes 66-60. They let Bruce Thornton go for 32 points, 12 of 22, 6 of 8 from the free throw line. Christopher Tilley had 7 rebounds, and Tyson Chapman had 3 assists, 1 turnover in 32 minutes. Meanwhile, for the Spartans, Carson Cooper had 20 points on 7 of 10 from the field, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He also had 11 rebounds to give him a double-double. And then you had Jeremy Fears with 8 assists, 3 turnovers in 35 minutes. The Buckeyes did outshoot the Spartans 44% to 40, but the Spartans were better behind the arc 27-18. And then the free throw line also went to Michigan State 72% in comparison to just 59. The Spartans had 4 more turnovers with 9 than the 5 that Ohio State had, but Michigan State dominated the rebounds, grabbing 43 of them while the Buckeyes only grabbed 26. And then 47% for Michigan State, 44 for Ohio State. The largest lead was 10 for Michigan State. That was the percentage led, those last percentages I gave at 44% and 44, or 47-44. And then it led to a victory. Michigan State was able to go out and do everything that they needed to do and was able to hold on in this game and come out with a victory, a 6-point victory, setting them up for a blockbuster game that was coming up later on in the week, one that would definitely have implications on seeding in the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament, but also it's just a huge game for Michigan State because, well, they had not won in their last 12 or so meetings at Mackey Arena. It'd been forever since they won a side of Mackey Arena in West Lafayette, Indiana, and they had to go on to take down the Purdue Boilermakers on Thursday. And, well, good things happened for the Spartans. The Spartans had Carson Cooper once again do what he does. He goes 15 points, 6 of 9 from the field, 3 for 3 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds to go along with that as well. Jeremy Fears had 6 assists, 1 turnover in 36 minutes of play. Meanwhile, Purdue, well, a lackluster game from them, although they still gave Michigan State a game that they were looking for. Braden Smith led the team with 12 points on 4 of 10 shooting, 2 for 2 from the free throw line. He also had 10 assists with just 4 turnovers in 37 minutes of play. Trey Kaufman-Wren had 6 rebounds. A very great offensive game for both sides. Here are the splits. Purdue shoots 49 from the field, 48 from behind the arc, 67 from the free throw line. And then you have Michigan State going 53 from the field, 32 behind deep or from deep, and 75% from the charity stripe. This is a fantastic offensive game from both sides. Only 9 turnovers for Purdue and 6 for Michigan State. 27 rebounds for Purdue, 25 for Michigan State. They both led about the same amount of time, 47% for Michigan State, 45 for Purdue. Largest lead, 8 for the Spartans, 7 for the Boilermakers. So there was never a point where this game was out of reach for either side, and it really, really shakes things up in the Big Ten Conference. When you look at it, Michigan's at the top at 16-1. Nebraska's 13-4, along with Michigan State and Illinois, who are all 3 games behind the Wolverines. Purdue drops another game down to 4th as they fall to 12-5 in the conference after losing 76-74 to Michigan State. They got 13 points from Kurtang as well in this game, and they were able to survive everything that's going on with the Purdue Boilermakers down in Mackey Arena, and they come out with yet another victory. So a great job by the Spartans to go on the road and win a tough game that Michigan State needed to win, not only for the Big Ten conference, but just to re-solidify themselves as one of the best teams in the country and remind not only themselves, but everyone around the country that this is when they start to play their best basketball. This is when they show exactly who Michigan State basketball is, and they're doing that. I'm very excited to see what they have coming up over the next week. Speaking of the next week, they have action again on Sunday. They will take on Indiana at Indiana. The game will be at Assembly Hall in Bloomington, 3:45 p.m. on CBS. The Hoosiers are 8-9 in the Big Ten, 17-11 overall. This is a huge game for Indiana. This is a win that could push them over the bubble, maybe extend them a March Madness spot in the NCAA tournament if that is what they're looking for. But, I mean, they're out favored in every single metric in this except field goal percentage, where they shoot the same at 47%, and then they actually score a few, like literally a few more points. It's a total of 0.9 more points than Michigan State on average, 79.3 for Indiana, 78.4 for Michigan State. But Indiana has lost to Purdue, Illinois, and Northwestern in the last 5 games, whereas Michigan State only has the lone loss to Wisconsin, which was a bad loss. But they have an overtime victory over Illinois and a victory over Purdue, both teams that Indiana had struggles with. But Indiana did beat Wisconsin in overtime, 78-77. So there is no transitive property in sports, but this is about as close as you get. This game may be closer than some people feel, especially with it being down in Assembly Hall. I'm sure the crowd will be hyped to have the Spartans coming in. They have to get through that test first, which I believe they will, and so does the ESPN matchup predictor, which has them at 55.5% chance to win, 44.5 for Indiana. But then they get a little bit of a break next week, because then later on in the week, coming up on the 5th, which is the Thursday, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights will be coming into Michigan to the Breslin Center in East Lansing. They're giving Michigan State a 96.3% chance to win that game. Rutgers just a 3.7, although Rutgers does match up a little bit better than some of the other teams against Michigan State. They have very tough losses. A loss to Nebraska, Minnesota, Washington. They do have wins over Penn State and Maryland in their last 5, but I don't know that they have enough. This is a great chance for Michigan State to really work on what makes Michigan State a great basketball team, work on the things that they need to fix before having a huge matchup to end the year at the Chrysler Center against the Michigan Wolverines before stepping into the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. But they're in great shape now moving into this week, where they have some lesser competition, which they shouldn't overlook, because that's how you get caught in these trap games, right? But I do think this is a better week for them than what they have had in the past. Jeremy Fear still leads them in points, 14.9. He says 9.1 assists as well, just 2.1 turnovers, 1.3 steals, doing all of that shooting 43.2%. from the field in 31.9 minutes of play. Jackson Kohler grabs 9.1 rebounds, and Carson Cooper, who has 1 block, also has 0.6 steals and 7.3 rebounds per game as well. Moving over to another team that plays college basketball inside the state of Michigan. So Michigan Wolverines over in A2. A2 has been an interesting place to play basketball this year. I'll tell you why in just a moment. But they did play a neutral site game down in D.C. in the Edward Jones Capital Showcase against the number 3 Duke Blue Devils. They did end up losing this game by 5, 68-63. Yaxel had a great game. Went for 21.7 rebounds. Elliot Cadeau had 6 assists and 1 turnover. But I mean, Cameron Boozer was Cameron Boozer. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. 45% from the field for Duke, 32% from 3, 71 from the free throw line. Michigan shoots 40, 24, and 72 in their splits. Duke turns it over 11 times, just 7 for Michigan. But 41 rebounds for Duke in comparison to 28 for Michigan. Duke led for 61% of this game, largest lead only 8. Michigan led for 26%, largest lead being 5. But Michigan just couldn't do enough in this game. Mainly, the real problem for them was three-point shooting, only shooting 24% from behind the arc, and then rebounding. You cannot get out-rebounded by 13 in a game where you're struggling to hit from behind the arc. You have to be able to get yourself more opportunities, create open shots, and finish them. Michigan wasn't able to do that, but a 5-point loss to Duke, who's now the number one team in the country, is it's okay loss to have. It doesn't really change anything for you. Many people still feel that Michigan is the best basketball team in the country, and I don't believe that they're to be wrong. But, you know, we'll find out when we find out. The Axel Landenborg still leads this team with 14.2 points per game, 7.3 rebounds, 1.2 steals, only has 1.2 turnovers, doing all of this, shooting 49.6% from the field with 29 minutes of play. Elliot Cadeau, 10.2 points per game, 5.5 assists, just 2.4 turnovers in his time. And then you have Morris Johnson, who's averaging 13.3 points per game, shooting 65.4% from the field in 24.4 minutes of play. Ade Mara has 0.4 steals, 2.6 blocks per game, and grabs 7 rebounds. That's all leading the Michigan Wolverines. They do have a big matchup that went down last night as I'm recording this Friday, as you all know. As you're listening to this, you know what happened between Michigan and Illinois. It's the biggest game for them. After taking down Minnesota in a 10-point victory, 77-67, where they were led by Elliot Cadeau with 15 points and 5 assists. Roddy Gale grabbed 7 rebounds. They shot 100% from the free throw line, but there was only 5 free throws that they shot. They grabbed 39 rebounds, turned it over 14 times, though, even though they led 85% of the game, for the largest lead being 18. That game went down at Chrysler Arena. They're on the road in that game in Champaign, so that'll be a huge game. They can lock up the outright Big Ten title this week. Oh, really, the rest of the season. They either have to beat Illinois, Iowa, Michigan State, just one of the three, and they are outright Big Ten tournament or Big Ten regular season champions. It's in their grasp. That's what they're looking at. Their next matchup outside of Illinois will be next Thursday against the Iowa Hawkeyes, 8 p.m. on Peacock, giving Michigan a 75.2% chance. This is not a game for Michigan to overlook. The Hawkeyes are 20-8. They're 10-7 in the Big Ten. They have wins over Nebraska and Ohio State. They did lose to Wisconsin, Purdue, and Maryland in their last 5. We'll talk a bunch more about Michigan State basketball, and what's happening in the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament next week. But for now, we're going to get ready to go to break. And when we come back, we got to talk more basketball about our Detroit Pistons over in Little Caesars Arena and how things look for them in the NBA. And we're back with more Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Carter Ostrowski here for the Council for Responsible Energy. I want to share a few quick, simple, and inexpensive tips that will not only reduce your home's energy use, but will also save you money on your utility bills. As you switch from heating to cooling, why not opt for a new programmable thermostat that will virtually pay for itself? This is one of the easiest things you can do to really see some significant savings. You can save about $180 a year by properly setting the programmable thermostat. Weather stripping can also significantly lower your bills. You just peel the backing off and seal up any leaks in drafty doors and windows. It only takes a few minutes, but you definitely notice a difference in both the temperature in the house and also your bills. And my last tip, check your home's insulation. proper insulation in your attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, exterior, and basement walls can save you 30% on home energy bills. It's a little bit more work for you, but your wallet will definitely thank you.
A message from the Council for Responsible Energy.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It is time for us to talk about our Detroit Pistons. We're stepping into the city of Detroit inside Little Caesars Arena, and we're laying down the hardwood. The Detroit Pistons currently sit first in the Central Division. But they're not just first in the Central Division. They're not just first in the Eastern Conference. They're first in the entire NBA. Yeah, you heard that right. The Detroit Pistons are the best team in the entire National Basketball Association. They're 43 and 14. They're a half game above the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are 45 and 15. Then you got the Spurs, who are a game and a half back from the Pistons at 43 and 16. For some reason, it's saying the Pistons are a half game back. This looks so weird. But the Pistons are 43 and 14. The Thunder are 45 and 15. We'll find out once the Pistons catch up to the Thunder's number of games on where they actually stand. The Celtics are six games back at 38 and 20. The Rockets are 37 and 21, seven games back. Looking a little closer at the conference, top six that I'm about to give you right now are our playoff teams. Obviously, the Pistons are at the top. We just talked about those Celtics being six games back. The Knicks are seven games back, 37 and 22. Cleveland Cavaliers, 7.5 games back at 37 and 23. The Raptors are 34 and 25, 10 games behind the Pistons. And the 76ers wrap things up as playoff teams at 33 and 26, 11 games behind. Our play-in teams in the Eastern Conference, the Orlando Magic, 31 and 27, 12.5 games back. 31 and 29, 13.5 games back are the Miami Heat. 15 games behind the Pistons are the Atlanta Hawks at 30 and 31. And then wrapping things up in the 10 seed, 29 and 31, 15.5 games back are the Charlotte Hornets. 7 through 10 there will be your play-in teams. But the Pistons are doing everything the Pistons are supposed to do. They're 22 and 7 at home. They're 20 and 7 on the road. They're 9 and 3 within the Central Division, and they're 28 and 7 into the entire Eastern Conference, which means cross conference they've only lost 7 games. 7 seems to be like that magic, like losing number. They've lost 7 at home. They lost 7 on the road, 7 in conference, 7 in non-conference. I mean, I'm cool with that. Lucky number 7, right? Maybe that's why the Pistons are starting to grind and look the way that they do, is because they're at the top of their game and they got a little bit of luck on their side. They do have a plus 7.9 score differential. They're 8-2 in their last 10, and they're on a one-game win streak. But why does it say 8-2? Why are they only on a one-game win streak? Well, before we get into that, let's talk about the leaders for this squad. Cade Cunningham, 25.4 points per game, 9.8 assists, just 3.7 turnovers while shooting 45.4% or 45.9% from the field and 34.9 minutes per game. Jalen Duren has 18.2 points per game, shooting 63.6% from the field with 10.6 rebounds in his 27.8 minutes of play. Assar Thompson, 2 steals, 1.5 turnovers, 25.8 minutes of play. And then you have Big Stu locking things down in the paint, 1.7 blocks per game, 0.3 steals, 5.1 rebounds. The team averages 117.4 points per game, 46 rebounds, and 26.8 assists per game. The last time we talked, they were just coming back from the All-Star break. Their first game back from the All-Star break, well, it was not one that many people were expecting it to be. When we look at the standings, their first game back was against the San Antonio Spurs. What happened with the San Antonio Spurs? Well, let me tell you. the Pistons did not win that game. Sorry, they lost 114 to 103, and it was a weird game. Devin Vassell went for 28 points, 10 of 14, 1 for 2 from the field. Victor Wembanyama grabbed 17 rebounds. Stephon Castle, 11 assists with just 4 turnovers and 30 minutes of play. Leaders for the Pistons, Jalen Duren, double-double, 25 points, 14 rebounds, 10 of 13 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Cade Cunningham, 10 assists and just 3 turnovers, 35 minutes of play. The Spurs shot the lights out of the gym, 42% from the field, 45 from deep, 63 from the free throw line. The Pistons, 38% from the field, only 19% from the three-point line, 84% from the charity stripe, 16 turnovers apiece, 55 rebounds for the Pistons, only 50 for the Spurs. The Spurs led for 70% of this game. Largest lead for them at one point was 15. I mean, Victor Wembanyama, Stephon Castle, Vassell kind of just ended up being too much for the Pistons, weren't able to corral Victor, who went for 21, 17, and 6 blocks. In this game, I mean, it's hard to play against a literal alien. There's no other way to put it. The man is an alien, and he's taking advantage of the fact that he's an alien. And that is what he did against the Pistons, is he went out there and he was like, look, man, you guys aren't me. I'm not you. But one thing I do know is you don't have anybody that can guard me. You don't have anybody that can slow me down. You don't have anybody that can stop me. So I'm going to put my fingerprints all over this game and be the reason why my team comes out with a efficient 11-point victory. And that's exactly what happened. But the Pistons didn't have a lot of time to sit and wait, because they had the Oklahoma City Thunder coming into town just 2 days later on this homestand that they're currently on. And, well, what a game this was. Jalen Williams had a career game. 30 points and 11 rebounds, 9 of 14 from the field, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. And you had Aaron Wiggins, who had 6 assists, 3 turnovers, 35 minutes of play. Jalen Duren continued to come back from his all-star break and do what Jalen Duren does. 29 points. 12 of 17 from the field, 5 of 7 from the free throw line, 15 rebounds as well, 13 assists from Cade Cunningham, 8 turnovers, 38 minutes of play. Pistons, 54% from the field, 73% from the free throw line, 33% from behind the arc, 17 turnovers, 52 rebounds. They led for 65% of the game, their largest lead being 17. The Thunder, 41% from the field, 95% from the charity stripe. Free throws were really free for them tonight. 37% from the three-point line. 14 turnovers, 37 rebounds, led for 31% of the game, largest lead only being 12. But, I mean, led by guys like Jalen Duren, who scored 29 and 15, Cade Cunningham would go for 29 and 13. The only thing that would have made this game better is if the stars were actually playing. Going to take a look at this box score here. You're going to be astonished at the guys that I name as DNPs for the Oklahoma City Thunder. You have no Alex Caruso, a DNP. You have no Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, DNP. Chet Holmgren, DNP. The other Jalen Williams, DNP. That's just 4 guys already. This team didn't put out basically anybody that they start, and the Pistons win by 8. Now, I'm not going to act like bench players in the NBA aren't still good basketball players. They're far better than the 1% of us out, or the 99% of us out here in the world that don't play in the NBA. But compared to the 1% that do play in the NBA, they're not as good. So why are the Pistons not winning this game by more than 8? That is a question we need to ask all of ourselves. That is the real thing that comes out of this week, is that the Pistons struggled against a starless Oklahoma City Thunder team, and they let Jalen Williams go for 30 points. Aaron Wiggins had 20. Cason Wallace had 23. Jared McCain dropped a dub piece off the bench. Where's the defense that the Pistons actually pride themselves on? Where's all the turnovers that you were supposed to commit? How are you going to win games against the best of the best if you can't beat the best of the best? You can't even beat their backups in an efficient manner. That is the concern that I have for this Pistons team moving forward, but I don't want to be negative. Don't want to, you know, pry on the things that aren't working well when there's so many things that are. They won this game, and that is the most important part, is they got the dub. That is what you're looking for, because that right there is the marker that we want. 124, 116. They're continuing to add to that great season that they've already had. What do they have coming up? Well, they're still on this homestand. Last night, they played a game against Cleveland to end the homestand. You know how that went. I do not. I'm hoping for a victory. This is the two top teams in the Eastern Conference, they believe, have a chance of making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. So this should be possibly a playoff matchup preview for what we'll see later on in the year. Cleveland Cavaliers have been great. So we'll find out what the Pistons had. Well, you know what the Pistons have had against them. But their next game will be tomorrow, taking on the Magic. They're going to be down at the Kia Center in Orlando, Florida. They split their first two matchups. Pistons won 135-116 way back on October 29th. On November 28th, the Magic beat the Pistons 112-109. Isaiah Stewart is still out for suspension. He's expected to be back on March 3rd. Franz Wagner is out with an ankle injury for the Magic until March 11th. Paolo Banchero continues to lead this team while getting some help from Jalen Suggs. The Magic are 31-27, 17-10 on the road. Your Pistons 43-14, 20-7 when they're at on the road as well. Excuse me, Magic are 17-10 at home. Magic have a 35.7% chance to win this game. Pistons 64.3. Magic have lost a couple tough games recently to Houston by 5 and then Phoenix by 3 in double overtime, but they beat the Clippers and the Lakers along with Sacramento on that West Coast trip that they went on. Obviously, the one blemish for the Pistons in their last five was against San Antonio. Uber amounts of success against OKC, Chicago, New York, and Toronto. Other than that, we'll see what the Pistons have coming up in this next week. They'll take on Cleveland again on the 3rd and San Antonio again on the 5th. So a couple rematches coming up next week as well. A chance for them to get some get back against the Spurs. But when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking about our Detroit Red Wings as we lay down the ice in Little Caesars Arena, and we'll prepare to talk about the Pistons again next week with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives with your gifts. Your heart could keep beating. Your kidneys could keep filtering, and your intestines could keep on digesting for others. And that's not all. You can improve the lives of 50 more people as an eye and tissue donor, restoring sight and health. And you're not just helping out the person receiving the transplant. You're touching whole families with your life-saving gift. Register in minutes. Just go to organdonor.gov. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Sign up today. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to talk about the Red Wings after we lay down the ice in Little Caesars Arena. The Red Wings, well, they have been quite the team to follow so far this NHL season. They're currently sitting second in the Atlantic Division. At the top, you have the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are 38-15-4 for 80 points. Red Wings are in second, 34-19-6 for 74 points. The Canadiens fall behind, 32-17-9 for 73 points. 72 points for the Sabres at 33-19-6, 33-20-5, 71 points for the Bruins. The Ottawa Senators, 28-22-8 at 64 points. Panthers, 30-25-3 for 63 points, who are tied with the Maple Leafs, 27-23-9, who also have 63 points. Looking at the Eastern Conference overall, the Red Wings are in third. The Lightning and Hurricanes are tied atop of the Eastern Conference with 80 points apiece. The Hurricanes are 37-15-6. Canadiens fall to fourth. And then you have the Pittsburgh Penguins coming in fifth, 30-15-12 for 72 points, tied with the Buffalo Sabres. Looking at the league overall, the Red Wings are in sixth place. The Avalanche still sit atop the entire league, 38-10-9 for 85 points. The Wild are tied for second at 35-14-10 for 80 points. Coming in fifth, Dallas, 35-14-9 for 79 points. And then the Red Wings taking that sixth spot, firmly locking themselves into a playoff battle as their playoff spot, as they're the two seed in the Atlantic Division, top three seeds in each division grab a spot in the playoffs, and the last two come from the wild card. The wild card currently is coming from that Atlantic Division. The Buffalo Sabres and the Boston Bruins are at the top of that wild card in the Eastern Conference. Both of them currently would make their way in. With that being said, we got to talk about everything actually happening with the Red Wings. We know that they are finally back from the Olympic break, and not much has changed. That I do know. DeBrincat still has 30 goals to lead the team, 11 on the power play, 206 shots. Lucas Raymond, 18 power play assists, 43 assists on the year, a plus minus of 11. He leads the team with 62 points as well, as he has 19 points to go with those assists. Looking at the goaltending, only 2.57 goals against average for John Gibson. Doing all of that with a .905 save percentage. He's seen 1,005 shots. He's saved 910 of them, which means he's only given up 95 goals on the year. He's got 23 wins under his belt this season. The team gives up 2.93 goals per game, which is good for 12th in the league. They average 2.95, so they're scoring more than they are giving up. Their power play sits in ninth in the league, 23.4%. Penalty kill coming in at 79.2% for the 16th best in the NHL. They've only played one game since the Olympic break, which first off, congratulations to the United States of America, Team USA, both the men's and women's. Both of those teams went out and did fantastic work in the Winter Olympics in Milan and came home with gold medals. Now, the key thing, Connor Hellebuyck, who is a Michigan native, was in net for the men's team, did a phenomenal job, only gave up, I think it was 5 goals the entire tournament. Beautiful play from Connor Hellebuyck. And then you have Megan Keller, who scored the game-winning goal for the women's team in that gold medal match against Canada, pushing them over the top and giving them their first gold in, I believe, is a couple years. But either way, they went out and did what they needed to do, courtesy of none other than Megan Keller cashing in that goal at the end. Defensemen doing what defensemen do. And then you obviously had Dylan Larkin, who was phenomenal in being one of the leaders on that Team USA squad and having success there all over the place for them. And then you had the Hughes brothers doing what the Hughes brothers do. Quinn Hughes was phenomenal. He scored the game winner in the overtime game against Canada in the gold medal match for Team USA on the men's side, and all of it with a busted mouth because he lost his front teeth, essentially. Insane, insane Olympics for not only those that are from the Detroit Red Wings, as Lucas Raymond did his thing with Sweden, and then you had Moritz Seider, who also was playing for Germany. Moritz actually had the most time on the ice out of like anybody in the entire Olympics up until his team was eliminated from play. So he was doing phenomenal work. Lucas Raymond does what Lucas Raymond does. And then Dylan Larkin being an absolute winner. Oh, Did you say something about Dylan Larkin being an absolute winner? Yeah, I did. In their first game back, Dylan Larkin does what Dylan Larkin does. 2 goals. John Gibson had 26 saves, 0.963 save percentage, and a 2-1 victory for the Red Wings. Brady Tkachuk on the power play scored from Jake Sanderson and Tim Stutzel to put the Senators up 1. From there, it was all Red Wings. Well, really, it was all Dylan Larkin. Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider assisted his power play goal in the second period to tie the game up. Then he got another goal in OT from Lucas Raymond on the assist for Dylan Larkin. 2-1. Hey, Dylan 2, Ottawa Senators 1, Red Wings win. And that guarantees that the Red Wings win the regular season series. They won the first game 5-3. They won the second game 4-3 in overtime. They win game 3 2-1 in overtime. So it doesn't matter what happens in game 4 on March 24th, where the Senators come to Little Caesars Arena to take on the Red Wings. They beat them twice in the Canadian Tire Center, once already at Little Caesars Arena. That gives them the 3-0 record, and they're looking good coming back from the All-Star break. They do have a huge game coming up later today against the Carolina Hurricanes, which I won't talk a ton about this game right now because this will be involved in our picks later on in the show. So I'll do a little bit more deliberation later on then. But this is a marquee matchup. Both of these teams near the top of the Eastern Conference. Obviously, the Red Wings are in second place in the Atlantic Division. Carolina's first place in the Metropolitan Division and tied for first in the Eastern Conference. So huge game for both these teams. A chance for them to go to battle on the ice and prove why they may be better than someone else, or better than the team opposite of them, why they need this momentum to continue to move forward and to put themselves in position for a great playoff run. But then Monday, March 2nd, you got Nashville on the road because they're still on that road trip. The Red Wings will take on the Predators. The Predators did beat the Red Wings back at Little Caesars Arena on November 26, 6-3. So they lead that regular season series 1-0. This is a chance for the Red Wings to tie it and avoid being swept by yet another team this season. And that is because they only play twice. So this is something to keep an eye on. Nashville down in the Central Division quite a bit. They only have 61 points on the year. They're 27-24-7. A huge chance for the Red Wings to get some get back on the get back, if you feel me. They have another game coming up before we speak again as well. Technically, two. They have Vegas coming into town on Wednesday, March 4th. The Golden Knights, who have struggled of recent, also beat the Red Wings earlier this year in November, 1-0. Vegas is at the top of the Pacific Division, though. They're 28-16-14, 70 points. So there's still some success for Vegas. They continue to look like a well-oiled machine. They do give up more goals than the Red Wings, but they also score more goals than the Red Wings. So that's a game where the offense is going to have to show out and have some success. And then they will play Florida next Friday before we speak again as well. The Panthers are currently lost to the Red Wings back in October, 4-1. Three more games coming up in the series between next week and April. But this is an interdivision series, so one that the Red Wings need more than the others. When we get back, we'll be getting into our picks, and then we'll talk more Red Wings next week here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Tick.
Sergeant Jason Nielsen served his country as an MP in Iraq.
I was in Iraq for 10 months before I was hit by a sniper.
He suffered a paralyzing injury, ending his military service. Paralyzed Veterans of America's National Service Officers, such as Sarita Latham, are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned.
She worked with my wife, took care of everything for me just so I could focus on just recovery and trying to get on with life.
To learn more, visit pva.org.
People start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org, and in 3 minutes, you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to get into my favorite part of the show. My picks. Picks are always fun. You know how picks go. There's games. Everybody goes in and decides who's going to win them because, of course, everybody knows ball out here. And then we see if, you know, those people are right because the game still has to be played. That's my favorite thing about sports is we can have all the knowledge and all types of facts and things before the game, but that doesn't mean that those things are going to come true. We still have to play the games to see what happens. And, well, after playing the games last week, I wish we didn't need to play the games. I had came into last week with a 3-3 record. Well, I left last week with a 4-8 record. I went 1-5 last week. Michigan lost their game to Duke. Houston lost to Arizona. Iowa State lost to BYU. Houston lost to Kansas. And then the Pistons lost to the Spurs. But. Oh, no. Sorry. I went 0-6. My Jesus. I am 3-9 because Louisville lost to North Carolina as well. So that gives me another L there. A whopping 0-6 on the week. And that drops me down to 3-9, which means I need a huge week this week to get back into the mix. If you think you can compete with me, as obviously I'm not doing so well right now, maybe you know a little more than I do. Maybe you know ball better than I do. Don't forget, Jacob didn't know anything about ball because he never beat me. 2 wins, no losses, 1 tie. That's how good I'm doing over here. And after last session where I was 36 games above 500, I'm feeling good even though I'm sitting 6 games below. Just need a couple good weeks to get me in the mix. So if you want to compete against me, use that chat feature in the 95.3 Ticket app. And then you can submit your picks after listening to me, hearing my deliberation, hearing me sift through my thoughts. You can do your own deliberation, research, and thoughts yourself. Submit those then picks into the chat feature on the 95.3 The Ticket app, and then you'll be able to compete against us. Maybe I'll have something special for somebody if they're able to do better than I am. But now that I've done all of that rambling, let's talk about the games we got on the docket this week, starting with the number 11 Virginia Cavaliers, who are 25-3, 13-2 in the ACC. They're currently sitting second behind none other than Duke, the number one team in the country, who they'll be taking on this weekend. The Duke Blue Devils are 26-2, 14-1 in the ACC. This game's at noon on ESPN. 11.9% chance for Virginia, 88.1% chance for Duke. Duke is 9.5-point favorites. 137.5 sits on the over under. Virginia's led by Feast DeRutter, who has 16 points and 6.3 rebounds per game. Dallin Hall leads their team with 4.2 assists, only turns it over 1.3 times per game. And we know who leads Duke. It's that man, a bad man, Cameron Boozer. 22.7 points, 10.1 rebounds, 4 assists per game. This game will be at Cameron Indoor Stadium in Durham, North Carolina. Virginia's 5-0 in their last 5. They beat North Carolina State, Miami, Georgia Tech, Ohio State, and Florida State. Meanwhile, on the other side, Duke does what Duke does. They beat Notre Dame by a lot. They beat Syracuse by a lot. They beat Pittsburgh and Clemson as well. But, of course, they took down the Michigan Wolverines. They're 5-0 in their last 5 as well. Somebody's win streak has to come to an end. And, unfortunately, I do not think it's the Duke Blue Devils, although I would love that as a Michigan fan. Maybe boost the boys back up to that one spot, maybe. But I think Duke will hold on to that one spot. Virginia not going to be able to do enough in this game to come out victorious. I've got the Blue Devils taking home a home victory, which moves us back over to the Big 12. Later today, 4 p.m. ESPN, the 14th ranked Kansas Jayhawks, 21-7, 11-4 in the Big 12, taking on number 2 Arizona, 26-2, 13-2 in the Big 12. They are at the top of the conference with a 2-game lead on basically everyone. Arizona has an 81.1% chance to beat Kansas, 18.9% chance, who did already beat them this year. That game was on the road, which we'll talk about in just a moment for Arizona. That is, that game was in Kansas. McHale Memorial Center in Tucson, Arizona. Arizona 8.5-point favorites, 146.5 on the over-under. Kansas coming in 3-2 with wins over Arizona, Houston, and Oklahoma State. Huge wins, am I right? But then losses to Iowa State and Cincinnati. Huge losses, am I right? Houston or Arizona on the other side, beat Baylor, Houston, BYU, lost to Texas Tech in overtime by 3, and also to Kansas by 4. So sure, you lose some games. They're tight games, so that's a little bit different than losing by the margins that we see Kansas losing by. 84-68, 74-56, much larger losses. Plus, this game is at home where Arizona has been absolutely phenomenal this year. I don't see them dropping this game in McHale Memorial Center to Kansas. Maybe to someone else, but not to Kansas. Give me Arizona to take home a home victory as well. We're going to stay in the Big 12, have another game. The 16th-ranked Texas Tech Red Raiders, 21-7, 11-4 in the Big 12. Another 11-4 Big 12 team, and the Iowa State Cyclones are fourth in the country. They're 24-4 on the year. This is a game later today, 4 p.m. on CBS. 23% for Texas Tech. Iowa State 77%, 7.5-point favorites are the Cyclones, 145.5 on the over-under. JT Toppin is expected to play. He's supposed to be healthy again, so we'll see if that makes a difference. But Kansas or Texas Tech in their last five are 4-1. They beat Cincinnati, Kansas State, Arizona by 3 in overtime, and then Colorado as well before losing to Arizona State. 72-67 in a hard-fought game. Iowa State, on the other hand, has two losses, one to BYU by 10 and another to TCU by 7, but huge wins over Houston and Kansas, and then also a win over Utah by 20, almost 20. So they're doing everything they're supposed to do. I think the big thing here is this game is at Hilton Coliseum in Ames, Iowa. That's going to make a huge difference for Iowa State, who has played absolutely fantastic so far this year, especially when they're playing inside Hilton Coliseum. I have to go with, yet again, the home team to capture another victory. I'm going to take the Iowa State Cyclones to win inside Hilton Coliseum and improve to 25-4, along with 12-4 in the Big 12, trying to catch Arizona, who has a two-game lead on them. We're going to pop over to the SEC. This is a game between the 20-ranked Arkansas Razorbacks, 21-7, 11-4 in the SEC, 8:30 p.m. on ESPN later today, taking on Florida Gators, who are number 7, 22-6, 13-2 in the SEC. Arkansas has a 20.1% chance, a 79.9% chance for Florida. This game is at the Stephen C. O'Connell Center in Gainesville, Florida. I know this is an uphill battle for Arkansas, as Florida is 9.5-point favorites. Negative 395 on the money line for Florida, plus 310 for Arkansas, 166.5 on the over-under. They're led by Darius Acuff Jr., 22.2 points per game, along with 6.2 assists with just 1.9 turnovers per game, shooting 50% from the field, 80% from the free throw line. Amazing splits for Acuff Jr. Trevon Brazil holding down the paint for them as they score 90 points a game and only giving up 78. But on the other side, you have Ruben Chinyelu and Thomas Ho, along with Xavier Lee, leading the Florida Pack. They score 86.3 points per game. They only given up 71. They're 5-0 in their last five. Arkansas has a double overtime loss to Alabama by 2. That's their only blemish in their last five. This is going to be a tough game. This is going to be a close game. This is going to be an exciting game. If you can sit down 8:30 p.m. ESPN later today and watch this one, you should. The Razorbacks are going to give the Gators everything they can in this road game, because they play well on the road as a team. A victory over LSU, big on the road, and then that double overtime loss in their recent road games, but they play well. But I do think O'Connell Center will be loud, it'll be popping, and it will give the advantage to the Florida Gators, which is going to have me picking Florida to win yet another game. Getting back over into the Big 12, this game will be on Monday, March 2nd, 9 p.m. ESPN. The 4th-ranked Iowa State Cyclones, which may or may not still be 4th-ranked then, will travel to take on the Arizona Wildcats, number 2, who may move up, may move down. We'll see what happens with them as well. We'll see what their records look like at that moment as well. But 29.9% chance for Iowa State, a 70% chance for Arizona. These two teams are very evenly matched. We've talked about what their last five have looked like. We know what these teams are bringing in, and we know that if Iowa State wants to catch Arizona, they have to win their game over the weekend, and then they have to walk into McHale Memorial Stadium in Tucson, Arizona, and take down the Wildcats. The Cyclones will have to go on the road and take down the Wildcats in order to have success in the Big 12 and find themselves as the Big 12 winner, plus get some help in other areas as well. It's very much a hard battle for them to fight, but this is one where they control what happens in this game, and they're going to look to control what happens in this game. But if you think I'm picking Iowa State to walk into McHale Memorial Center and give Arizona a loss this late in the season, when Arizona knows, hey, we win the next couple of games, the Big 12 regular season title is ours, that's going to be a tough battle to fight. I'm going to take the Wildcats to go 2-0 on the weekend and to take home yet another home victory. It's going to get us into our last game of the weekend. Our Detroit Red Wings, 34-19-6, are 16-9-4 on the road. They're traveling to take on the Carolina Hurricanes, who are 37-15-6, 22-8-2 when they're playing at home. This game is 7 p.m. later today. It will be on ESPN Plus and the FanDuel Sports Networks. I mean, we know who our leaders are on this side for the Red Wings. It's Lucas Raymond, Alex DeBrincat, and then John Gibson has been doing his thing in the net. Meanwhile, for the Hurricanes, Sebastian Aho has 58 points, 21 goals, 37 assists. Seth Jarvis has 26 goals, 4 on the power play on 158 shots. Sebastian also has 13 power play assists. His plus minus is 12. Red Wings are currently splitting this series with the Hurricanes. 5-2 was the first game in favor of the Hurricanes back on December 27th. And then you have your Red Wings winning the last game in overtime on January 12th, 4-3. Right now, the Red Wings are currently 1.5-point underdogs, plus 164 on the money line for them, 198 for Carolina. As much as I would love to pick the Red Wings, I'm not going to. I'm going to take the Hurricanes. Something about them playing at home and in the position they're in has me leaning that way. That gives me Duke, Arizona, Iowa State, Florida, the Hurricanes, and Arizona. I hope that you have a fantastic weekend of sports like I will be doing as well. And we'll be back next week to talk more sports in the state of Michigan and everything happening inside the Mitten with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.